Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. Back in the saddle.
You're back in this saddle because you're recording.
I'm over here in the driver's seat.
Next week, I will have no idea how to operate that.
Yeah.
Because that's how my brain works. We watched.
We're coming to you today to speak to you about the film Los T-Boys.
I didn't want to take that away from you. I wanted you to have that. Yeah, it was an experience.
I get very angry about halfway through.
Yeah, you were not happy. You got pretty mad. And I asked you why, and you said, oh, you'll see. And so I don't know what happened. So tell us.
I don't know what to pin it on exactly because I don't know. None of the characters are likable, nor do you really get a chance to like them.
Yeah.
Nothing is really ever explained. It's unknown why this family is moving.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it seems, I'm assuming, that there was a lot cut.
Could be.
Because there's things like, we see Diane Weiss' character, like, going into the video store because there's a help wanted sign. And then the next scene she's in, she's calling from work.
No, he says, you need a job, and she says, I do need a job.
Yeah, okay, but, like,
I think that serves as,
I know. There's just some jumps in time that are,
that's fine.
And, yeah, I don't, also, the basic premise, I don't know why the vampires try to convert Michael Emerson, who played Lioness, what's his name, on Lost?
Fucking Michael Emerson. The character's name is Michael Emerson, which is one of my boos.
I'm a fan.
I know you're a fan, but those bug eyes and those things special. I think he's so hot. He's so weird looking, and he always plays a crazy person.
Well, maybe he wasn't Linus. What was his name?
Yeah, Benjamin Linus.
Benjamin's Linus. Linus.
Benjamin's Linus.
For a second, I thought it was the...
Like Ruth's...
The pedo that...
Oh.
Played Escalator Man on X-Files. And Green
was
Mile.
He was also in Space Above and Beyond.
Oh, he was.
That's how I knew him. Yeah.
Anywho, and the grandpa, I don't know why the vampires are doing anything that they're doing.
That's fair, yeah.
Well,
what was confusing is that, like, well, other than the whole movie, but what, a thing that confused me is that they try to turn him, and then she says, you were supposed to be my first or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but I couldn't kill you or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so what?
And so we should fuck.
Also. No, like he, that was after they fucked. I thought when they fucked was supposed to be when she.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm like, so he would have been kill? I don't understand. Yeah, exactly. That didn't make any sense because he would already
die.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense.
And he's a halfling.
They all are.
Oh.
Because they're not a true... Yeah. Right. I just remember being disappointed in the reveal at the end. Because the guy...
Yeah.
Wasn't hotter as a vampire.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't hot at all, but he wasn't hotter as a vampire. And that always... I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Like, Kiefer Sutherland, like, their little gang of vamps kind of have a hot thing going on. You know, they're the little hot boys that are like,
yeah.
Ooh, they got those, like, angelic eyes, you know, those, like, light eyes, and they're like, ah. But then the old guy he just gets, you know, owl head or something.
Yeah.
You know, he just has his
little... But he sticks his tongue out, though.
Oh, like, God. That was so disturbing. I was like, why?
Oh, what's that dude's name? That actor?
Richard. No. His name's not Richard. He played Richard Gilmore.
Oh.
But yeah, that was a confusing thing. She's like, but I was thinking about it this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, right, this is why a lot of times movies like this do well, or like, when you watch them when you're younger, they make more sense. Because like Edward Herman. Because as an adult, you're like, you don't know each other. You just met. You haven't had a conversation. And you're like, I have such strong feelings for you. And I'm like, this is...
Who are we talking about?
Like the teenagers in this movie.
Okay.
You know, she's like... He's like, oh, because you care about me. She's like, I do care about you.
Oh, right. And
it's like, you just met.
Right.
And like, there's no, they don't even really have a conversation and she's hardly around him. And it's like, I care about you so much. And I'm like, oh, right. When you're a teenager, that's how it is, though. Like, you build these, like, absolutely fantastical relationships in your head.
Sure.
And you make up these things. So when you watch it as a teenager, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they're, like, they've just, like, barely interacted and they're madly in love. Yeah, that's how it is. Because that's how it feels when you're a teenager. So I'm like, okay, I get it, because that is pretty accurate to having any kind of feelings as a teenager, because it's so overwhelming. But then you watch it as an adult and you're like, they didn't even have a conversation. Like, I don't, how, what does she care about his fucking butt? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, what, mm-hmm. what's going on here? So, you know, like, there's something.
Save,
I'm like,
Laddie.
I'm like, yeah, like,
why?
Because he's a little kid. Also, I'm like, does that mean he killed someone?
Yep. Right, because he fully turns.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess not.
And I also, the humor is not, the comedy is not funny.
Not
for me.
Not at all.
And the fact that it tries to move between that and all the other tones that are unclear.
Yeah.
There's so much POV flying footage.
Yeah.
That is
I prefer that to most of everything else that happens in the movie, though, if I'm honest.
It's just never actually directly connected to the Lost Boy guys. You just get this POV shot and then...
Well, okay.
Which I found annoying. That's just an annoyance. Like, there's so much of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's very disjointed. It's mm-hmm. very, like...
Sorry.
Why are you sorry? It's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, there's just a lot of nonsensical. And it doesn't make sense. They're like, no, like, they kill a vampire and then they're like, no two vampires
go out the same.
I think I should warn you all. When a vampire bites it, it's never a pretty sight. No two bloodsuckers go out the same way. Some yell and scream, some go quietly, some explode, some implode, but all will try to take you with them.
you just killed one and freaked out. So clearly you already weren't prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling everyone else to get prepared for it for what, and you don't even know how they're going to die.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's just really explaining to the audience that we're going to see some different cool deaths.
Right. And then like the holy water garlic one, I liked that one because that was pretty cool.
I would have liked it if it made any...
That's fine. I just mean, like, I like how it looked.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the reasons it pissed me off, though, is because, like, that wasn't a climax.
No, yeah, right.
And that character who had no lines got the coolest, biggest fucking death.
Right, but then the worst thing is, like, Kiefer Sutherland, when his character gets axed, nothing happens. He just stops being a vampire.
He lands on the antlers or whatever.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Well, heaven let a light shine down on him for a second.
Right, but that's what I mean. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
And the dude got electrocuted for, like, a full half hour.
And then exploded?
Yeah.
That was stupid.
Like, it's too bad. This is why it was so frustrating to me. It was like, those were pretty cool effects.
Yeah.
It looked cool, but...
For no reason.
In the context of the movie, it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
These guys were never scary or really that menacing. And
yeah, I think that was a thing. Like,
this might be a thing where I'm spoiled now by having watched.
Yes, correct.
Horror movies.
Correct.
Better horror movies.
That's
like,
the thing.
Like, you know, I was thinking about like what I said during Trick or Treat. Was that I appreciated what it did differently. Like, do you remember when we unfortunately watched John Carpenter's Vampires?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this is one of those things where it feels like you haven't actually watched a horror movie or a vampire movie. You're
right.
Just going by the lore you've absorbed
right.
from being in the world, you know, like, and so you didn't actually think you needed to do any research.
Right.
But even beyond that, it's not, anyway,
you're
I
so
get
fucking
why as a young person, it would be entertaining.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like I came into
especially
it
in the late 80s. You
right.
know?
If I had seen this if I had seen this in the 80s or even early 90s when I was like a kid, this would have been I would have been like, whoa, this is a crazy movie. And it would have had a lot of nostalgia. When you come into it and you've already seen Interview with the Vampire, you've already seen Queen of the Damned, you've already seen like,
right.
fuck, you've already seen all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like you've seen all of these things. You've seen vampires done in different ways. You've seen, you know, you've.
Well, and I saw somebody said that this is one of the films, you know, obviously along with Interview that started the trend of making vampires sexy.
Yeah. Right. Because Buffy doesn't really do that. Like, they have vampires looking like monsters. But what I'm saying is, even with, like, Underworld and, like, all these, you know, you have, like, different variations of vampires. You see different sort of, like, lore. And then you go to Lost Boys, and there's not enough of any of it. Like, there's
correct.
Not, there's no lore around it, which is part, I think, a lot of the appeal of vampire movies is when they start telling you what their rules are.
Yeah, all the rules are.
They tell you all the rules are. And
zombies, too, right? Like, that's what
right.
you're
right. Yeah.
And like, oh no, there's a new twist. These
right.
guys move
right.
fast.
Like, when 28 Days Later came out, right. like,
and
everyone
they
was, they can run, and everyone was like, that, oh, the concept of a zombie that can run and has, like, no, like, you know, they're literally out to feed, and they're just coming after you, terrifying, and you didn't need a lot of explanation other than if you see them, you gotta fucking, you know, you can't outrun them.
Yeah,
you
right.
can't, you know, you gotta fucking do some shit to get away from them. And that was like, oh shit, that's such a great idea. But like, then you go back and you watch like a zombie movie where everyone's walking slow and you're like, was this ever scary? You know? And you're like, oh shit, you know, like this doesn't even.
I guess, but at least it still has. I
right.
mean, I'm not saying this is one like where it doesn't stick to its own rules. rules. I don't know if it's that. But it's that, just like it's too.
You don't know if
convoluted.
It does.
Yeah.
It,
because well, and also the shit with what's his name, Herman, Mr. Gilmore.
Yeah.
Where the explanation is like, oh, well, you invited me in, so you were powerless. Okay, but you still had a reflection, and the holy water didn't burn.
Right.
So,
yeah.
The victim is being powerless means you're just not a vampire? Yeah. What?
Yeah. Right. And it doesn't, like, that's sort of not adhering to their own rules because they're like, oh, we can kill a vampire with all this stuff. They're like, oh, you invited me in. And I'm like, but that doesn't mean that. So then if they didn't, then holy water would work outside of the home.
Right.
Like, or in someone else's.
Right.
What? Like, yeah, it's just like none of it. Oh, a True Blood's another one that I've seen a lot of.
Right.
Just vampire things. It's just like, yeah, they didn't do a lot of work to make it. I mean, I think.
And I thought it was a really cool idea to have the younger brother and the two other, the frog brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
I that's a cool idea, you know, like that they're vampire hunters and they've learned from comics what to do or.
Yeah.
Put out a comic? Like, it's unclear.
Right. Well, it's also, it's interesting because it's also like, it seems like people from the town are aware of vampires.
Yeah, right.
And so, sometimes, but there's not enough of that.
It's the murder capital of the world.
And, well, they don't say that.
They do.
No, he says, is it true that it's the murder capital of the world? And he says like,
well, now let me put it this way. If all the corpses buried around here was to stand up all at once, we'd have one hell of a population problem.
So it doesn't really...
Well, but we see it when they enter the town, that it's written on the...
Oh, right, but it's written on the back,
yeah.
Is what
no,
I mean.
No, I know.
I just mean, it's never confirmed.
Nor denied.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of, like, no one's
I mean,
character.
That's what was frustrating about it, is you could see that there were some really good ideas... And they're all just pissed away.
Like, I really liked... I mean, first of all, I don't really fully understand how close Jason Patrick and Corey Haim get to open mouth kissing multiple times.
I kind of love that, yeah.
But they're it was so weird. They're, it, well, it's also like there's literally a scene where his mouth is opening so close to Corey Haim's mouth. I'm like... And I'm not saying like... You know, I'm not trying to, like, make some, like, joke. I'm literally like, who directed, who was, like, get a little closer when talking?
Joel Schumacher was a gay man.
Can you talk into the other one's mouth? That would make us hear you better. Like, what the fuck? I like how Michael Emerson, I like how he, at first, when he sees, I don't know, Jamie Gertz, who I think is super hot.
Star.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. When he sees her.
Originally written as a boy, by the way. It doesn't mean it was.
Oh, yeah. Homo. No, I know it wasn't homoerotic. I was just like, what the fuck were they? I was just like.
Also, everybody's supposed to be younger than they are.
Oh, weird. Anyway. So when he sees Jamie Gertz and he sees her get on the moped or whatever, the dirt bike, he,
are you calling Kiefer a moped?
Yeah. He emulates how he, like, he gets an earring, he gets a leather jacket so he can look like Kiefer Sutherland so he'll attract her.
Ah.
And I really like that. I was like, oh, this is like, it's directly showing that he's literally just trying
and
to.
And brings his bike.
Right. He's literally like, I can do it too.
Yeah.
Like, you wanna, and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
What? And I was like, I love that because that's not like implying anything. It's directly telling you that he's looking at these other boys and emulating them.
Just mimicking the.
Yeah. Just completely like, just trying to, and I'm like, that's such a teenager thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, like, you know, you look at somebody and you're like, oh, I wish I could do that. And then just doing it, you know, because you see someone else doing it and you want to do that too. I'm like, that's such, I mean, you know, you do it as an adult too, but, or an adult, either one. But you don't do it to the same degree. You're not like, you don't do it like how fucking, what's her name does it in Clock Watchers or whatever, where she's like, oh, yeah, literally, yeah. You know, you don't like see someone at work and you're like, I'm just going to buy that same outfit and wear it around you, you know, so that other people know that I'm cool too. Like, you know, you do it like you watch a celebrity or you see something on TV, you know, but like when you're a teenager and you're around other kids, you're like, oh, this person did this, so I'll do that too. And I was like, oh, that's kind of, I kind of like that. But then he dorks out and just sucks after that. The fucking phone call.
When he's floating outside the window?
Yeah, and he just opens the window and then he's not floating anymore. I'm like, what?
Yeah, none of that made sense.
I don't... Yeah. It would have been really interesting if he'd, like, experimented with his powers or tried to see if he had powers.
I mean, he almost attacked his brother and then got...
And then the dog bit him.
Yeah.
Did you read any of the trivia? I didn't. Oh, my God. Come on.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
Yeah. I mean, I read Corey Haim's biography on Wikipedia. And I think I read some about the production on there. But, like, I guess it was a big deal when the script got purchased in, like, 1985 or something. It's
so, it came out in 87, right?
Yeah. This independent production company bought it for $400,000.
Wow.
And one of the writers said, he was like, yeah, I read Interview with the Vampire and saw that there was, I thought it was really an interesting concept that you have a vampire who's hundreds of years old, but looks like a 12-year-old. And then I thought about Peter Pan and... You know, like, what if the Lost Boys were vampires because they don't age and they can fly?
yeah. I mean, yeah. What a great concept.
Yeah. That is. But, yeah, Laddie is giving the character in Near Dark that we talked about. Or we talked about that while watching it.
Santa Cruz. This is the first trivia that that popped up, which I thought, I think this was.
Is the murder capital of the world?
Santa Cruz, where Santa Carla takes place, was once plagued with the reputation of being the murder capital of the world.
Really?
Because there's of a series of very brutal murders by three different very, very disturbed men in the early 70s. John Lindley Frazier, Herbert Mullen, and Ed Kemper.
Oh, damn.
Santa Cruz, because of them, Santa Cruz endured 28 murders over a 38-month period from... Or, 28 murders over a 30-month period between 1970 and 1973. So that's the period of time.
Okay.
So, all right. So it's been confirmed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it was the first film the two Coreys were in.
Yeah, it was apparently where they made friends. They were just hanging out.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's what kind of launched Haim, at least, into being a heartthrob.
Really? Well, I guess that makes sense.
I guess before this, too, there were several or maybe even after, there were several roles where... He was up against River Phoenix. Like, he auditioned for Stand By Me. And... I don't remember.
Stand By Me is one that it's, like, a very... That one is one I
forgot Kiefer's in that one, too.
Yeah. That's one I'm interested in rewatching. I've seen it multiple times in my life, and I've seen it as an adult and everything, and it's always one of those where...
Is Fred Savage in it? Who else?
No, it's Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
Jerry O'Connell. Kiefer Sutherland's in it. I don't remember everyone. But yeah, it's one that, like, it really, it was a movie that, like, when I first saw it when I was a kid, I was pretty young. Like, I was younger than they were in the movie, you know? But it was really, it felt much heavier than it probably actually is, but it felt really realistic to me as a kid. And so it's just one that always stuck with me, and especially, like, you know, mainly because, like, the reason why, like, the plot of Stand By Me is that one of their friends goes missing, or, like, a kid they know goes missing or something, or they don't, and there's a rumor or something that he's either dead, I think.
I thought it was just that someone said there's a dead body.
Okay, that might be it.
And they're like, let's go see the dead body. And so they have to plan this whole fucking...
Yeah. But I think it's a kid. I think it's one of... I think it's someone they know.
Okay. Maybe.
I think. Maybe it's I'm wrong about that. Yeah. And because I remember, like, at the end of the movie, they find him. They find the dead body. And it's like... It's way more like... It's not just like this cool thing that they do. It's like this emotional thing where they see...
Someone, I mean, it makes sense dead, if it's someone they know, and that would,
yeah,
or they don't know until they get there.
Yeah, and then it's right. Yeah, know. something like that. I don't
all
exactly remember.
All I remember though is the scene with Chopper.
Chopper.
The dog, the junkyard
sick
dog.
Balls, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Chopper sick balls, but because it's one of those scenes, I love to quote because on television it was Chopper sick boy. Which, you know, makes no sense after you get the voiceover about how every kid in the neighborhood was terrified by this dog because they knew it was trained to attack your groin. That, and then when somebody gets leeches on them, in their underwear.
They go through this lake or whatever, river or something, and they all have leeches on them.
Yeah.
And they're pulling them off, and then
somebody gets one on their
Will
dick
Wheaton,
or something.
Like, reaches in his pants and he pulls one out, and there's blood all over his hand, and he, like, passes out. Yeah, I'm like, oh, he got his period too. We have something in common. Yeah,
I like Corey Feldman in this.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I really miss like young Corey Feldman was like a specific thing, and he was so funny, and he was in, like, he was in the Goonies too.
I was gonna say also
so
I was,
fucking funny in the Goonies.
The fucking thing is from the Goonies set. Their what? Underground lair that is
oh,
was
shit.
Part of the Goonies set.
That's hilarious. Fucking but like Corey Feldman in that, like him and Martha Plimpton are just like going at, like they're just like insulting each other throughout the whole fucking movie. And it's so funny, like to me, like they're like, he's just like such an asshole, but he's like a kid with the rest of them.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. And in this, he's kind of, it's a similar thing. And I'm like, yeah, like he, you know, unfortunately, he is who he is now, which is just...
Oh, I don't know.
He's just...
Is he no good?
Well, it's not that he's done anything. He's just like that person you wouldn't want to be around because they're so kind of lame, you know? But they don't know it. You know? You're like, ugh. Like, he's in a band and he goes and he tours. And if you've ever seen a clip of it, I'm like, I wouldn't want to be at that show. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm being shitty, but it's that thing where like he's cashing in on the 80s nostalgia, which is like good for you, I guess. But he's old enough that you're like, it's getting weird, you know, and it just feels, I don't know. I think it smacks of like a little bit exploitative, like not that he's, you know, it makes me think of stuff like that where it's like, you remember me. I'm reminding you of your childhood, you know, by cashing in on my, you know, and I'm like,
it's like two on the nose or something.
But yeah. You're like, okay, well that's, you know, and it just, you know, it, and also I get really like, this is about my own insecurities, I think, but I've always Oh, God. There's like this certain, like, I'm all about aesthetics, and there's like that thing where like people are like, oh, I don't know how to describe it, where, you know, someone's like, I'm alternative. And then you're like, they're like Walmart alternative, mm-hmm. you know, versus like someone who's actually living the lifestyle, you know, you're like,
okay. The alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, right. Well, it's like the thing where they're like, yeah, I'm alternative, but like all there's, you know, like they style themselves off of someone that they see, but the person that they see has like, I don't know how to say it where it doesn't sound shitty. It just like people who really want to be cool and just aren't, and they're dressed a certain way, and you're like, oh. And I have this fear of like becoming that, you know.
Oh, right. Definitely something we have to worry about now that we're adults.
Exactly, yeah. Just looking to, like, cheap fashion kind of thing, you know, when you're like, you know, goth on a budget kind
fast
of thing.
Fashion.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, not, I don't know how to describe it. It's a specific thing.
And this is what Corey Feldman is?
Yeah. It's what he reminds me of. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, doing things that aren't cool anymore, but they were cool like 15 years ago. And you're like, did you not get the memo? Or...
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough adult shit going on for it to counter the nonsensical teenager shit. You know, because like the moms date with like,
yeah,
Weast.
Moms and date with Weast.
Weast and Grandpa Gilmore. Their dynamic is weird.
Yep.
And uncomfortable. And when he kisses her, mm-hmm. I feel very uncomfortable, yep. because I'm like, we've seen you leave a date with him. He's your boss, and we've seen you leave a date with him, yeah. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming to your house, and he's kissing you on the mouth in front of your kids.
And his hellhound chased you.
Yeah. I'm like, but, like, there's no, like, yeah, it's so, I'm like.
This is what I'm saying.
But, like, what I'm saying is, like, that sort of thing that they do with the kids, it makes sense because you're, like, you're hormonal. Like, things aren't necessarily going to make sense for you. You're going to be rash. You're going to do things silly. But then sure. If you don't counter it with adults making informed decisions or doing things, then it just looks like you have shitty plot and writing. And that's what's going on. Like, there wasn't any character development or change or storyline for the adults. They were just, like, sort of half characters.
And the grandpa, oh, again, why do we see his car?
It's all to lead up to him just busting through the living room at the end.
His classic car that the kids take out. Like, why?
I think it, yeah, I don't know. Because they have a car. Well, I think it's so that they're, yeah, it's stupid. I think it was just so they have transportation. That makes sense, which that's that would fine. Be fine, but they don't have to make a big deal about it. It would make more sense if the grandpa drove the nice car and they
did get laid or whatever.
Yeah. And they drove the little, you know, scooter thing that they weren't sure is going to work half the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it would add sort of, you know, stress to the plot or something. Cry, little sister.
Yeah, so that guy who was in that band, wrote that song or whatever?
Yeah.
Was one of the people that tried to rescue Corey Haim.
Aww.
Like, towards the end, in fact, like, aww. Was living with him.
Aw. That's sad.
He said he would, like, help him produce records and stuff.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
I remember I did see the... Was it? I think it was a like Behind the Music or whatever about him. The one where he's like incoherent and like
Corey Haim.
Yeah, it's real rough. I don't recommend watching it.
Yeah. I guess I didn't really know about that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I knew that there was like a reality show that was like the two Corys or something.
Yeah. Right.
And I think while that was going on, one of the Corys died or like it was not long after.
No, it was canceled before.
Okay. I just mean it wasn't long after I think that it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, there was a lot of. I just remember there was one episode where one of them is I think Corey Feldman is a vegan. And they were like, you're a vegan? He's like, yeah. I'm like, but you have leather shoes. And he was like, what difference does that make? Ow.
Called out.
I mean, I my voice is cracking because I've done a lot of talking today despite feeling like a turd. A warmed up turd. Keith and I were talking a few nights ago. I don't remember. You probably remember. I don't remember what. I think, was it while we were watching Event Horizon? I don't know. But we started talking about how Captain Crunch was so good. How peanut butter crunch is really good despite the fact that it absolutely demolishes any skin in your mouth. Oh, we were talking, it was Trick or Treat. That's what we were talking, right? Yeah. Because we just listened to that episode where we talk about 18-year-old eats bowl of cereal, gets milk all over her face.
Well, sometimes they come back.
That's what it was. That's what it was.
Because it was the bedspread that I said looked like Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yum. Oh, so, so fucking he bought me some crunch, some peanut butter crunch and exactly. And it's so good. And my mouth hurts so fucking bad. I ate some today because I ate what the problem is that I ate some the first night and I was smart about it. I like kept getting them, I was like, you know, stirring them in the bowl, getting them a little soft, not just eating them straight, like tearing up my mouth.
Let them get a little soggy.
Yeah, I let them get a little soggy and I ate them real slow, just a few at a time. I let myself, you know, I took it slow. And then yesterday I got cocky and I was like, I'm just going to shovel in my mouth real fast. And I just decimated my fucking, all the skin in my mouth.
So exactly
region.
What you knew what would happen?
No, I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, I was able to do this last night, and I didn't think about it. And then today I had another bowl, and I did the same thing where I ate it slow, and that seems to be okay. I didn't hurt myself more is what I mean.
Impressive.
I'm smart. Yeah, I feel like vampire movies really, I feel like
yeah,
The Hunger did a lot for vampires. I feel like where
yeah, but no, like nobody saw it. You know what I mean? Like
it's true, it's true.
It's only a cult.
True.
Became a cult classic. Like
yeah.
By the '90s, I think.
Yeah, no, that's true. But that's what I mean. Like The Hunger was like one of the first times not one of the first times, but it was like a good example of like vampires not becoming monsters when they feed. And I feel like Interview with the Vampire did a lot to like, oh, they're really, like vampires can be hot. Not that nobody thought vampires were hot before. It was like the first thing. But it was the first time they like, that was the intention.
Mm-hmm.
Was to make vampires look hot. Which I think they do a little bit in Lost Boys, but I don't feel like it's the absolute, like they're still trying to make them look like monsters. I think V. Neil did the special effects for
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm gonna
Los T-Boys?
Yeah. I'm gonna double check that.
I thought it looked pretty good except for the
oh yeah, it does.
I mean like Kiefer especially looks good as a vamp.
Yes. Yeah, V Neil. Worked on, yeah.
Cool.
Who she also did I think Beetlejuice and yeah, she's just done like she do the penguin? I'm trying to. She has a lot of, like, realism. Like, her stuff looks more real. She's worked on the Hunger Games, X-Men, The Grinch with Jim Carrey. Oh, she did Stigmata? Shit. She worked on the TV Shining? Oh, shit. I didn't. Mars Attacks, she did.
Oh, shit. That's a big one.
Batman Forever.
Okay.
Junior. Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, yeah. Also,
Batman Returns. Edward Scissorhands. That's what it was. Wasn't it? Beetlejuice, The Lost Boys.
Also, Tim Burton.
Yeah.
All the Tim Burtons.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Corey Haim auditioned for Robin. And
oh, wow.
Is it Forever? Is that the first one with Robin?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris O'Donnell.
He did not get it.
Yeah. I was madly in love with Chris O'Donnell at the time. So I watched Batman Forever. And then it was Batman.
Joel Schumacher, I think it's kind of always just too bad.
Yeah.
I think I felt similarly about Flatliners. Flatliner has interesting things in it, and he always has interesting visuals, you know?
Yeah. That's what I mean about, like, the POV flying. That's, like, a great trick. And you're like, oh, but then, like you said, it doesn't mean anything for the movie. It doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't impact anything.
Yeah. And then...
Also, the deaths you see earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess,
scene where one of the vampires, like, bites into someone and blood just goes spurting. And it's really cool, except for the fact that where they bite is the top of the guy's head.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. It's not a fucking can of Pepsi that you shake and, you know, like... You know how Pepsi is. but it just doesn't make any sense.
It's like cherry Pepsi.
but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it just falls flat a lot. And that's... Do you mind?
Okay,
it's
go.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it's such a cool concept, right. You know? Yeah. Yeah, but I think I was excited to rewatch it because I felt like I felt disappointed in it the first time I watched it, and that I wasn't gonna feel this that way now. I was like, I'm gonna have a better appreciation for it, which I do think I have a better appreciation for it than I did the first time, and I wasn't as miserable as you were watching it. If I'm honest,
I mean. To be fair, I've not been in the best mindset.
That's fair.
For the last couple of weeks.
That's fair.
It's been a rough time, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure that affected my ability to appreciate.
I don't know if we talked about it, but Keith, like, full on, like, chopped.
Yeah, I sliced off
the corner
of my
finger.
And then had to go, my antidepressant prescription got interrupted, so I went.
Yeah.
And that.
In the same weekend, just. It was
a few days apart, yeah. And shit's been all wonky with benefits, right. So I'm like, oh god, am I actually
right? He was
not
like,
covered?
Do I? Yeah. Anyway. So it was like this whole horrible, stressful thing, and then
we
watched the Lost Boys. So you can imagine he was like, fucking god damn it. But I'm glad that you were like, because I said I wanted to end on Lost Boys, and I'm very glad you vetoed that. So thank you.
Oh yeah. I did not expect to.
No. But it was way more of a turd than.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still. I get it if you find it entertaining. There's enough going on.
Absolutely, for sure. And especially.
Again, it's Schumacher throws lots of interesting visuals.
Yeah.
I mean, they amount to bupkis.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing. I mean, this is the thing. This is something. I think I may not be a huge fan of Mr. Schumacher.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I may not be a huge fan of vampire
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think you don't like vampires. So I think I think if you have nostalgia attached to this movie, that it would hold up.
I do love the fashion of the teens.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kiefer is pretty good in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a whole lot of lines, which is fine. I mean, serves his character.
Well, he does. There's probably, this has to be a record for how many times one person says the name Michael.
Oh, my God.
He says it so much. Specifically, Kiefer.
Take it easy, Michael. Where's Star? David. Michael, you ever want to see Star again? You better come with us now. Michael! Over here. Come on, Michael. Initiation's over, Michael.
Yeah, so trigger warning, if you've ever met a Michael.
Yeah.
Whose
name is Michael.
Yeah, and because of that, probably done some fucked up shit.
We're not fans of the name Michael in this podcast. We're of the firm belief that if your name is Michael, there's a mark against you. Yeah, you already have three strikes against you. Starts with N and ends with three strikes. Yeah, it's not your fault, but it's become your fault. You sure as hell have worked a lot to make it your fault.
Also, I think it was Schumacher that suggested Wiest and was surprised when she said yes because she had just been got an Oscar for...
Parenthood?
No, I think Parenthood was after this.
It was.
Oh, fuck. It's something I forgot she was in because she's not even... It was like a Best Supporting for Oscar.
I'm going to...
And presumably Kiefer agreed because he heard there was going to be In Excess.
Good food on set? No. In Excess was going to be...
On the soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
And he had just come back from Australia for some reason and was a fan.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another thing. Like, so the fashion is great. The soundtrack also pissed me off.
That's fair.
Not just the songs that are used, but the score, you know? Like
Hannah and Her Sisters? Was it that one?
Yes, it was.
How you forgot that when we said...
I know, we were just talking about that for some reason.
Yeah, what were we watching where... Oh, it was like, I think it was a Law and Order episode. It was the one with Merritt Weaver, I think.
Okay.
And it was like Hannah and Her Sister. They kept saying Hannah and Her Sister or whatever. And so we were just talking about that.
Where's that Diane Cannon? Diane Jessica Lange.
I mean, she was in, I'm just looking at her.
Who?
Discography. Diane Wiest.
Yeah. No, who's the lead? Who's
in
that? Hannah.
What's her name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mia Farrow.
That's right.
Okay.
Who's the Diane that was in some Woody Allen movies?
Besides
Dan.
Diane. Hold on.
I'm so sorry. I feel like this episode is the worst of...
It's not the worst.
The things that happen.
Keaton! Of course. Keaton. God fucking damn it. Of course it's Keaton. No relation to Michael Douglas. Or the other Michael Douglas.
Yeah, and... presumably a rumor that he chose that because he was a fan of hers and
Aww.
Or maybe had a crush on her, but I don't think that's...
It's probably not true. True. But what a nice rumor.
Oh, and also because of... doing research today after watching The Lost Boys, I think I remember this show. I think it only lasted one season. A show with Corey Haim and Burt Young, who died in early October of this year. So not that long ago.
Like a couple of days ago, according to this time that we're recording.
Where Corey Haim's the youngest college...
What's his name?
Burt Young. Anyway, and Burt Young's character is like coming out of the military.
The 8th of October.
Yeah, well, I said early October.
I know, but I just wanted to give...
Okay.
a date.
Okay. Anyway.
Wow, okay, it's not really October anymore. It's the 21st.
Yeah, don't.
F.
Yes.
M. Oh.
Go ahead. Ah! Anyway, so they were in a show together, and that was 1987 as well.
Yeah. Yeah. 87. What a year. 87, 97. Those are 2 years, you know. They happened. They really happened to the best of us.
There's no denying it.
Would you recommend?
I would not. I think it's disappointing on the nostalgia tip.
Okay.
Tip
or trip?
Whichever.
Okay.
I said tip. But
I know you said tip, but I wasn't sure which one you were trying to say.
That's fair. Yeah, I just don't think it is satisfying in any way.
I would recommend if you're looking for...
If you like any of these actors, you will be disappointed.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think if...
It's a good cast.
Yeah. If you just like... I mean, I'm going to say this. The best part, in my personal opinion, the best part was the video store.
The set.
Yeah.
And his home, though.
Oh, yeah, but what I'm saying is the video store specifically hit a... Like the neon, his fashion when they're in there fucking going into a video store, like all that stuff. That scenes where people go to a video store in movies, those hit me so I'm that person. I don't know why. There was a video store. So I think before we got a Blockbuster in the town, in the tiny town I grew up in, there was like one of those like rental places. Where, you know, that was the only place in town.
I don't know, grocery stores would have a little video rentals section.
Yeah, no, some I don't. Would. So it would always smell like popcorn, like that popcorn that's like all fucking butter. Like it's just like, you know, the kind that you like, they just like drenched that shit in like fake butter when they popped it. You know, they probably use like triple the amount that's suggested or some shit. And so it always smell like that, like carnival popcorn kind of shit where you just smell that. And the whole store would smell like that. And there was just video there everywhere, it like lining all of the walls. There were video posters all over the mirrors for shit that, you know, came out like 15 years ago. They were faded because of the sun.
Yeah.
Like all this shit. So like there's something, and I remember specifically renting Dune from that video store. Shit. So right. So there's
like four cassettes.
So there's something that's so, whenever I see like an old video store or like a video store where it looks like just like it's, you know, it's not necessarily a Blockbuster, but it's like a video store that's just like generic, you know, I'm like, oh, it really fucking...
Yeah, I always think of the one, if I'm thinking of an indie one, there's one in Riverside that was in the same, like, little shopping area as the grocery store. It was pretty close to home.
Yeah.
So it was the one we went to a lot, the most.
Yeah.
I remember it just seeming, like, dusty as fuck all the time. I mean, that's kind of what it's like in Riverside.
Okay.
It's dry, so...
Yeah.
But, like, I think all the fixtures were, like, shitty, cheap wood.
Uh-huh.
And not, like, wood, not, like, particle board. It was just, like, bare-ass wood, so splintery. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.
And, like, you're saying, like, the faded-ass posters. Mm-hmm. Like, one of them, I think, was, like, what's the one with Neil Diamond? I don't know. Like... Just something like from the 70s, you know, like, why do you have a movie?
What's the one where it's like the poster is like someone opening their mouth and there's like an eyeball or something? Maybe it's Creepshow or something. I don't know. That was always the
Terror
one.
Terror Vision? No, that's an eyeball coming out of a TV, I think. Anyway, yeah, but that's what I always flash on if I see movie posters. I just imagine all the boxes that I always passed that I never rented.
Yeah.
That place. I don't even remember what it was called.
I don't know. I don't even know if this, I don't know if it even had a name or if it was just like video rental.
Right.
And I swear to God, I don't know if it like changed ownership or what, but I, when I visited my sister there in like the early aughts when I was like 18 or 19 or 20 or something like that, she, or no, maybe it was when I was a teenager. Maybe it was before I moved away. That might be it. She would go there to rent movies instead of like we'd go to Blockbuster and we'd go there because she was like on that plan where you would just get like, you know, like $5 and you'd get 10. Yeah.
Unlimited.
Yeah. Like you got like 10 movies a fucking week or some shit.
Man, so jealous of places that had that. I knew her.
Yeah.
That was my preteen years. And then we moved to Corona and Go Video, which was like a local chain, I think, because they had more than one store.
Yeah.
But my memory of that place is I would rent Nintendo games from there.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think that was the first place, like, they started, like, you could rent VCRs or Nintendos.
Dead Alive, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen it.
Isn't that the Evil Dead? An Evil Dead movie?
Dead Alive?
I've
never watched Evil Dead.
Who did it?
I'm looking it
up. Who done it? How catch 'em? Yeah, and Richard Donner was going to direct Lost Boys and then had to bow it out for some other project, but that's why he gets that producer credit on the opening. He had directed The Goonies.
The description, original title is Brain Dead.
Yeah.
A young man's mother is bitten by a Sumatran rat monkey.
Okay, cool.
She gets sick and dies, at which time she comes back to life, killing and eating dogs, nurses, friends, and neighbors. So I don't know.
Okay. I guess not. Who directed it, though?
Peter Jackson. Yeah. That's what it is. Fuck. Sorry, Randall.
Yeah. I did it again.
You're the whole time you've been screaming that you know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, probably this whole episode.
Yeah.
I'm like, Diane.
Sorry. Sorry that we hurt your feelings.
Sorry about your vocal cords.
Yeah. If your throat hurts, we'll get you some lozenges. For screaming at us this whole episode. Fucking of course, yeah. Duh.
Richard Donner.
Who
did not direct this movie.
Okay.
You may have missed this because you were looking up Dead Alive. He was going to direct Lost Boys.
Oh.
Did something else instead, but still got that credit.
Oh, okay.
That's why it says a Richard Donner production before you see Schumacher's name. He directed The Omen, also Superman.
Oh, wow.
Lady Hawk, The Goonies.
Oh, shit.
Lethal Weapon.
Hmm.
Scrooged. Oh, we should do that one year.
Oh, God.
You love Bill Murray.
I love Bill Murray.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name. When you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange. People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Keaton! Fucking, of course. God fucking damn it.